What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're anyone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints that help with energy and focus. It's got a little bit of caffeine, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and 12. They help with memory and focus. I'll chew it really, you know, whenever I feel like I need just a little bit of a mental boost, when I'm podcasting, when I'm working out, when I'm on the phone making calls, if I'm driving around showing houses to clients. I'll just pop a piece of NeuroGum if I ever need a little mental boost, and usually gets me to where I need to be. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. They're a health grooming men's grooming company, particularly focused around our beards. They make great products, 5 ingredients, all natural. They make beard oils, balms, butters, all the things to help for men's grooming on our faces, face wash. It all smells amazing. You know, I like to joke, it makes your girlfriend want to kiss you. They also have great body wash, deodorants, candles, anything that you can think of. It's amazing. And it all smells great, and it's all natural. So give Captain Beard Co. a follow. Check out their stuff on Instagram. And use our podcast code, Zach and Pat, for 10% off future purchases.
And now to introduce our guest. He is notorious. He has been
Wait. I'm not an awesome guest. This motherfucker calls everyone an awesome guest, but the guy who produces it. Fuck you, man.
Well, you're a consistent guest.
Man, fuck you. So
you're not even a guest. Awesome. You're just a part of the show.
You're just a part of the show. You're always here.
Yeah, we got an announcement about
spitting
that.
Spitting the ones and twos behind the
switchboard.
Yeah.
I guess we know who it is.
Making us look good, sound good, feel good.
The great and powerful Murphy Wells.
I'm him.
Hi.
Hi, Murphy.
Hi.
Well, I feel like we're in AA.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Murphy. Hi, Murphy.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show. Murphy, how many times have you been on the show? I mean, obviously, you've been on like every fucking episode.
Yeah, but,
like,
I've talked on every show, but this is guest-wise, what, third?
There's at least 2 episodes that I've never been present for, and that's going to be, ones that we were able to produce, that is. One of them is going to be Wyatt Hayes' episode, and then the episode with Bryson last week. I was not present for that, so I've been present for like 69 of them. Nice.
Yeah. Well, and there was the one we did with Jay.
Well, and then I was gone. He filled in for me on that one.
On the Brett Lux episode.
Yeah, you know. Brett Lux.
Also, shout out Dr. Brett, keeping my shit nice and snapped up. Real thankful.
Yeah, Brett's great. But we're having Murph on the show because
he's got a special announcement.
He's got an announcement he wants to share with the world, and you know, we thought what better platform than the Zach and Pat show where
I feel honored that he wants to do it on our show.
Yeah, I know.
With everything that he's got going on, I mean, man, good for you. Proud of you. I'm happy for you, but go ahead. Let's hear
it. Floor is yours, sir.
It's mine. The floor is mine. I don't know whose bright idea. Oh, yeah, it was mine. Well, you know, it's for anyone who's known me for any extended amount of time, meaning like you've known me since I was probably a kid. Most people have known I've been a Missourian local my whole life, which you two have also been as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think unlike me, neither one of you has a burning desire to leave the place. And I love St. Louis for the most part. I love Missouri for the most part, but it's just like I've always had wanderlust, and I think the place that most people associate me with wanting to go is Florida. Like, it was actually going to a festival in Florida. It was EDC Orlando 2022 is the first like event I ever brought a camera to, and then like a few months later I started my business, and so I've had an opportunity to come up with some of my friends in South Florida. A spot opened up that is, you know, about the same cost as my mortgage, and I have clientele landed up there. So in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be taking my show on the road down to South West Palm Beach.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited for you.
What are you feeling right now?
Nervous. Like, dude, I'm not going to be a Missourian. Well, I mean, I'll always be a native Missourian, but I won't be a local Missourian. And it's like, I'm a little astounded with myself because I'm like, dude, I've always said I've wanted to go and I've always felt like I would never achieve it.
Yeah.
And it's probably because like my mom never did this kind of stuff either. Like my mom was working class her entire life. Like she had to work from a very young age to like pay rent in the house that my grandma like raised her and my Aunt Debbie in. And then like right after I was born, she took care of me. And then she took care of same grandma, her mom, who forced that kind of lifestyle on her. And so like, she always wanted to get out and she never did. And I'm like, my mom's been around for 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If my mom's been doing this for as long as she has and she never got out, then why am I ever going to be able to? And it's just like,
break the mold.
Kinda.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm scared as shit.
Good.
Yeah, we're happy. You know, we're happy you're going, but we're sad to see you go.
Yeah.
You know, like this is it's going to be a weird. You know, yes. Obviously you bring a certain dynamic. You know, I mean, just well, you're one of my best friends first off. So I mean, obviously I'm going to miss having you around. But then like you also bring a dynamic to the show. You are the producer, but you also you know I mean, there's very few episodes on, that right. You. I mean, I don't even know how many episodes have ever gone by where you didn't say a word, which are it's very few.
Yeah.
Maybe. Also, another one that I wasn't on was your first fight companion. I wasn't there for that.
Right.
Yeah. I was working elsewhere. I mean, dude, maybe some of the really early ones. Like, I think maybe our first episode ever, I didn't say anything. Mm. And then, like, we tried putting me on camera for a little bit, and I was just like, dude, this angle's weird. I don't want to use this fucking angle. This angle's trash.
Yeah. Well, in our new setup down here in the dungeon here, we got to come up with a name for it.
Dungeon HQ.
Yeah, Dungeon HQ. Yeah, we obviously you can tell we've got a new studio set up. We got an awesome actually, dude. Let's get a picture with this after this, and we give Billy a shout out. But we got a nice little sign made from my buddy who's a graffiti artist. But yeah, we got a new setup in our new studio here in my basement. So moved our studios. But yeah, it's been very there's been very few episodes that have gone by where you haven't said anything, and you just bring a certain dynamic to the show that you know we are gonna miss, man. You know, it's you've got a different perspective on things, obviously with you know all the stuff that you all the content you create, you know, with your channel and you know all the other podcasts you produce, and you just have you bring a good different dynamic to the show that I don't think Pat and I don't. So it's definitely something we're gonna miss.
Yes.
And it's been my hope that you guys don't do everything the way that I do it because I mean again, I'll still produce the show. That's the thing too though, is like for those of you who are local to St. Louis and who this is first news for you, like I'll be coming back on a regular basis to take care of my people. Thankfully Zach and Pat have done so much to like learn from me while I've been here. They need to learn how to set up a camera and point it in the right direction and then just send me everything. And it works out. But like, that's kind of the thing is what are the personal details someone brings to a project? And there's nothing that I can bring to it that you two can't do better, to be completely honest. Like, yeah, I'm someone off screen who can say things and maybe move a conversation along in a direction maybe you didn't intend to take it on. But more than anything else, like your guys's, and that's I hope we talk at bulk about the show and what a ride it's been. Because like, you know, just seeing you two grow in this role has been very, very, very fulfilling for me. Because I've told everyone this since I start working with them. It's like I don't want to be the guy who does absolutely everything for you forever. I want you to learn how to do these things, and it forces me to get better too. Mm-hmm. Forces me to get better equipment. Forces me to become a better editor, better storyteller, and like. I mean, there are things that, like, if I don't export in 4K, like, he'll tell me. He'll notice. Like, nah, it doesn't look the same. Like,
yeah.
Why not? Oh, because I fucking, it's in 1080 by 1920 because I'm a dumbass. Yeah. And I re-upload a little later. But, you know, the conversation pieces that you guys have been able to produce, I sit over there. Even when I was listening to Matt's episode with you last night, I was like, listen to these two go. Like, fucking two guys who never did a podcast before them, like, I did had any part in it. Now, I run a podcast for both of them, but they're leading the conversations. They're having a good ass time. It's like being a dad watching his kids walk for the first time.
Kinda. <Yeah.
laughs> I'm so proud.
When you got into and starting your business, did you think podcast was going to be the way that it went?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Because Mark was the person who showed Mark Joe. He showed me how to podcast and like. I shot a couple episodes for him and Jeff when they were still doing the Give More, Be More podcast, which was a great project. Excuse me. But, I mean, it kind of makes sense that it would be something that I would do because communication is my thing. Long form is definitely very interesting. And I mean, as far as being organized in it, I'd rather cut up long form videos all day than short form. Short form's short and tedious, mm-hmm. and everyone wants like long form quality and a short form piece of content. But that's what I do love about doing podcasts. It's like, it's not one of those things where I have to be super scrupulous about every little fucking detail. It's like, no, dude, you can like enjoy it for what it is. Like, I told Matt this the other day, like, there'll be times where I'll be listening and I'll be like, I'll forget that I'm editing because I'm like listening to the conversation. I'll be like, fuck, you actually got to get to that. But like, I care more about like what's being said than what comes up on screen. And sometimes I'm able to manipulate those things and you guys don't even know it. And I think communication is all content creation really is. It's communicating an idea. And a lot of people still think, I mean, and you guys can speak to the experience of this, but like a lot of people think it's just plug in the mic and talk and that's a podcast. What is that the truth or not?
No, not at all. I mean, I like to think about it as it's like almost it's just like a moment in time that's captured that you can kind of repeat and watch over and over again, you know, because it's like how often, I mean, if we were all sitting around together, like just sitting around, these mics weren't here, I don't think the conversation would be that much different. Probably you know, not. Like it would just be the same thing. It's just like, how I look at podcasts is like you're just a fly on the wall in the room, mm-hmm. you know, like that's what I like, you know, but sometimes it's with very famous, influential people and you're like, wow, you just get to capture this moment and be a part. You feel like you're a part of it, you know, which is like a really interesting part. You know, like I've heard, you know, a lot of podcasters talk about this, but then they'll meet fans, they'll meet these people. And, you know, it feels like they already know them just because mm-hmm. they've listened. Like, for example, like everybody knows I'm a big like Rogan consumer. Like, I feel like I know the guy. I've never met him. You know, right. It's like I've listened to him probably, a couple hundred thousand. I don't know how many hours I've listened to of Rogan, but it's been a lot. And, but I do feel like I know him. He definitely doesn't know me, but it's like you get that weird dynamic with people. That's like, it's really interesting. It's new for us, yeah. You know, like that's definitely like a new piece of being a human. Like there's like this new way to consume, you know, conversations and like feel like you can really get to know somebody through this long form. Cause right. It's like how often you sit down and talk with someone, you know, for an hour straight and with uninterrupted, you know, no phones, no phone calls, no, you know, you just sit across the table from someone and look at them and have a conversation with
usually
them.
If I was drunk.
Yeah.
Right. But then, you know, but that's the thing too, is like this, it's a very intimate setting. You know, like we're having very deep conversations. It's not surface level stuff. Like we're picking their brains. We're getting to know them on a deeper level. And, you know, some people may be just really, really good at that conversation, like having those conversations and pulling that out. But I mean, we sent out a questionnaire to get to know a little bit more about them so we can figure out how we want to like come up with questions and things that we want to ask ahead of time. So that way it's just not like just rambling. Like there's some planning that goes into this. I mean, you know, Zach and I will, you know, we'll message each other about the duets. You know, sometimes it does come up last minute, but like we have some set ideas and things that we follow that we've established from the beginning that we want to continue on. So it's not like we're just winging it, you know? And I think that's where people like, they think podcasts are people just winging it, but we're not. Like, no, there's plans behind it. And you know, scheduling out guests. I mean, shoot, we're booked out through September and looking in. Getting
we got
people,
one in October, I think.
Yeah, but I've got one person that I asked to try and fill in for our last episode, our last guest episode, and she wants to come on in October. And I think she'll be very unique just because it's something completely different. Like she owns, she's a hairstylist, owns a hair and makeup company. And is like one of the biggest wedding hair and makeup people in St. Louis and Illinois, like 400, 500 weddings a year.
Yeah.
And so, and she, you know, we just helped her buy a house over in Illinois and I'm excited to have her on. So, but like, that's the thing is like, we have different people, local business owners, and it's a side of like, people might not even, probably most people don't know the people that we have on. And they're getting to know these people in a different way. And I think I think podcasts are great for that purpose, especially local ones. So,
well, and I would definitely say that as far as my realization that I've touched quite a few projects, it's like your guys's, I've, you know, produced probably a dozen or so episodes of Sam Vandenbrink's. I've had some pieces, obviously my own podcast has done some things. I've helped on some parties within First Form. I just keep them anonymous. Because I don't want to name drop or gloat or do anything like that, because that's not who I am. but it is seeing something in St. Louis do well that is important to me. Like, it's kind of a bittersweet thing, if I'm being completely honest, because, like, I've always wanted to leave. And now it feels like there are so many more people who are coming here from other places. You know, like, especially when I started working at First Form, the appreciation for people coming from, like, other states to here. And maybe it's our low cost of living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because people want to get away from coasts. It could be anything. But, like, to see my friends who mostly are entrepreneurs, because there's you two, and obviously, you know, Pat, we've talked about, like, mortgage loan. You run, like, your own small business within mm-hmm. Guild. That's how I've always seen it.
Yep.
I have such a unique friend group here, and I have so many different types of people in so many different industries. And I love the fact that, like, small businesses, really at the grassroots level, are people who I know and who I've gone to school with and who I've helped launch a lot of those projects. So, like, on the one hand, I'm like, I'm super excited because it's so new, but it's like, I also feel like there's about to be a renaissance of really great things that happens here, and I'm choosing to step away from that. But there's a lot of things that I need to experience that I can't have here. For example, I need to experience a winter that does not throw me into a debilitating depression because of how fucking cold and dark and gray and sad it gets around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Florida, not only for the warmth, but, like, my friends, New Year's Eve, it was like -5 degrees here. We were all shut in.
Right.
It was real bad. It was real cold. I was doing 75 hard, and I see my friends in South Florida, and they're at a day party, you know,
yeah, on the beach. And
yeah, they're at Dare Day Club, and it's like 85 degrees out, and they have Subtronics, and they're also running around in bathing suits. And I'm like, fuck, man, I just gotta move somewhere where it's warm. This is too much for me, dog. And it's not just the fun of it all, but as far as, like, ceilings, I would say that, like, the ceiling for what I do in St. Louis is a lot lower than it will be in a place like South Florida, because, like, I love dance music, I love festivals, everyone knows that about me so far, and it's like, well, there's no better place to be for those things South Florida. And here, most of my market is honestly kind of oversaturated, and the ceiling's kind of low. One of those things that, like, I love all the people that I help, but someone was like, hey, well, why don't you break into doing, like, real estate videography? And I'm like, there's a guy who does that who's real, real good at that, and I can't step to him.
Yeah.
And shout out to him, because he's been on the show, and that's Matt Joe. I think as far as real estate content goes, like, the I mean, he
does all my shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I'm waiting for him to send me the video that we did yesterday.
Matt, get on it, bro.
No, go. I'll get it today.
He's Balake, really get that. Your shit together.
Blake, yeah.
And so that's another big piece, is, like, there's just things that I've never experienced that I just can't experience here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think you feel like you've, so, which is pretty cool that, like, in, you've owned your own business now for a little over a year and a half, and you feel like you've already hit that ceiling. So now it's time to bump up and take that next chance.
And is that to say that, like, there's not more that I could do here? No, there's definitely more that I could do here.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm not inspired by a lot of things around here.
Yeah.
Because it's predictable a lot of ways. Like, I know that now to get from where I'm staying to get here is just like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
To get to the city, the traffic's going to be terrible. They're never going to be done with the construction on 55. Like, ever, 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 ever,
ever. There's going to be...
It'll be 2095, yeah. And that same series of cones will still fucking be up. Yeah. And what's that guy's name? Tony Game?
Tony Bame. Dude, he's...
St. Louis, Missouri, wouldn't you know it, worst...
road construction in America.
Worst road construction in America. Like... I feel like that is my life every single day. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to go down. And another thing that's been like a deterrent from me going to, like, Watson's has been like, I just hate getting downtown right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate getting downtown right now. It's fucking terrible. But it is kind of putting my back up against the wall. West Palm Beach is notoriously, like, not cheap. It's quite expensive, if I'm being honest.
Mm.
The fact that I found someplace that's so close to my, like, residential cost of living is actually, like, off-putting. Like,
that'd be a rat's... What part of West Palm Beach am I at right now?
I'm 20 minutes from the beach, dog.
That's
20
awesome.
Minutes from the water. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if you get comfortable, you often get stagnant.
Right.
Like, the one thing I've always tried to do to, like, make myself uncomfortable again, it's like, oh, I'll just start 75 hard again. But, like, that's not the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love the program. I love what it's done for me. But it's like, you cannot rectify wanderlust by staying in the same place. You cannot quench that thirst inside of yourself by continuing to put yourself in a hot, dehydrating situation. It's like, the heart wants what it wants.
Right.
Got to make sacrifices and investments. Okay, the sacrifice I'm making is my comfort and the investment is a higher ceiling in a place that I've always dreamed of. You know, I know a lot of people don't sympathize with me and my love for Miami, but like, I really fucking love Miami, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I've only been there a couple of times, but it just feels like ready, even though it's an hour from, I digress.
Okay. So you're planning on coming home like roughly once a month mm-hmm. or so, have a game plan.
Yep.
And so do you already have people kind of work lined up down there that you're going to work with already?
And I mean, I'm setting stuff up pretty much every day, but everyone who I've talked to is like, well, dude, there's no shortage of a need for video work down here. And they're like, with what you do and how you can talk to people, because we just had Tony Andonoff on before we, you know, got cracking on this episode. And he had mentioned it. He loves going to the South because the people are so friendly. Like, and look, Southern hospitality is not like a universal thing, but it's like,
right,
there are certain cultures within the Midwest regionally that are easier to talk to than others. I think Midwesterners are very easy to speak to as long as you speak to them with respect and not like with a mouthful of shit. I think folks in the South also are very, very easy to talk to because that Southern hospitality and that ability to have some manners is a real thing. But it's like you go to like the East Coast, people are a little too fast, people are a little too busy. Go out West, people are way too busy and they just straight up don't care. And that's
there's so many people too. I think mm-hmm. there's something to that. You know, like the areas with like very high population, I feel like you devalue people a mm-hmm. little bit more because there's so many.
They're not
people,
rare.
You know, exactly.
It's a dime a dozen.
Yeah. I mean, not that, you know, here I feel like, you know, it's a small city, big town kind of feel. You know, I mean, there's, what, 1 million people in the city, another 1 million on the outskirts.
800,000 mm-hmm. within city limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm something close to that. But
and what, 0.2 or?
Yeah, so it's about 2 million roughly in like the greater like St. Louis area. So like it's like, you know, it's a small when you look at places like, you know, LA where it's like 30 million, if I'm not mistaken.
I think LA has between LA and New York is typically one of the two most densely populated urban environments within the country, and Chicago is usually third behind those two.
But yeah, it's a lot more people than here.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we still get that. You know, that it feels like a city here, you know, it feels like a big kind of city in some aspects, but it still feels small,
mm-hmm.
which is what I like. You know, I it's no secret. I don't think Pat and I are not going anywhere anytime soon. We're not going anywhere. We got kids and wives and or ex-wives and wife. We're sorry. But yeah, we're not going anywhere. So, yeah, no, you don't have to worry about us leaving. So, but, you know, we are going to miss Murph and
very much so.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a change for us. This will be a big step for us. So, you know, we got a little bit more responsibility on our end with manning the cameras and the mics and all the stuff. So,
but it's gonna force us to get better at what we do
for sure.
And you know, like Murph said, it's about getting outside your comfort level, and this is one of those things. And you know, hopefully we can continue to learn and grow from that. And you know, Murph's done a great job of working with us and teaching us how to use the cameras, how to use the board and all that for recording. And, you know, we're excited to see where this goes, but we will for sure miss the dynamic of Murph and having him behind that comfort level of him, having him behind the scenes and, kind of, you know, like I said, helping us to sometimes directing us in a way on our conversations. So,
yeah. And to give feedback is definitely still a part of what I do. Yeah, it's been a fun ride because I posted this on my story the other day. I forgot what it was we were doing. It was when you shared that picture of the office upstairs being cleaned out for down here. And I was like, yeah, dude, I've done more for the Zach and Pat show than I have done for any of the podcasts that I've done for solely myself. Whether that's been Can We Talk About This or, you know, the Talk or, you know, the Daily Murph Show, any of that stuff. Like, it's all kind of like human centipeded into like one big evolutionary show. But I mean, just to have 70 straight episodes, to me, like, this has been a blueprint that I hope other people can follow. And I mean, it's probably been my favorite project that I've worked on to date. You know, I've loved majority of the people who we brought on. I love majority of the conversations that I've got to be a part of, and really doing the Fight Companion stuff has been cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see more of what you guys do.
Oh, we're going to keep doing that for sure. That's been, I mean, you know, and they are the kind of easier episodes for us to do just because it's just
I don't have
like
any editing.
It's just kind of like a hang, you know, and, you know, and I want to figure out a way that we can start incorporating, you know, the good cameras. And I think I'm going to buy a different laptop with a better camera so that we can do those, like whatever one you have here, just because the video turned out pretty good. But I definitely want to figure out a way that we can, you know, maybe set these up in like 30-minute increments, you know, like or something, just so that we can capture some of the stuff for the just for the short form content. You know, because I think most people that consume podcasts are doing it. They're doing it for the audio. They're not doing it for the visual. But I think the visual does add a different aspect to it. It you know, for our social media stuff, I think that's where I think that the cameras come in more than anything. Like I think that's kind of where you know that video content is consumed the most. So like I definitely would love to figure out a way that we could incorporate, you know, a camera or two during those in just maybe specific episode or certain fights or whatever we want to watch, just to capture those reactions and stuff. I mean, you know, because we've got those couple reels out and they look fine, but they're just not the quality that we're used to seeing.
Crisp.
So, yeah. But yeah, no, we're going to figure out a way to like do that, whether it's just like setting them up every, like, you know, every like 30 minutes or like, you know, because that's the thing is that most people probably don't know that like, you can't, these cameras that we record on, like you can't run them for hours. Like they've got like a good, you know, hour and a half of life before they start overheating. So you gotta kind of spare them wisely. So, you know, we're gonna figure out a way to make it work for us. And, but yeah, I definitely want to keep doing those because those are just so fun, man. I've had a blast both times we've done it. And you know, in the shows, I mean, the metrics on them show that, you know, they do well. So, you know, it's definitely something I want to continue to do.
And I mean, you know, I thought the last one was great. I was the one I actually got to sit in on. And I mean, that's the stuff that I'll really miss about what we're doing. Cause don't get me wrong. I love all my friends in South Florida. They're really great people and they're moving at a pace that I can appreciate. Cause it's very breakneck, which again, like what we do here is not slow pace. Like we get in, we record back to back. I have something to get up by the next day. I literally have 4 podcasts to have released before I leave for my trip to the Smoky Mountains tomorrow morning. So like, to me, everything moves at that pace over there. And that's something that I'm really excited for, but like definitely throughout whatever time we have left today. I mean, I think just going around and saying like what everyone's favorite part of the journey has been is kind of warranted right now, because I don't know if there's a specific episode or a guest that we had on or a talk or something like that, but like we've just had some really cool people on and we've just had some really cool conversations get spilled. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, if you had to pick a favorite moment from this show so far,
take a minute
to think about it.
Crackhead jokes with Pat.
Pat's humor is way up there.
Pat,
that was a good one.
Pat's episode was up there. Matt Joe's episode was up there for me. Yeah. You know, just him, you know, telling his story of, you know, overcoming addiction and prison and all the stuff that he's, you know, done and now created with his life. I mean, that's such an awesome, awesome story. So, I mean, that's one that sticks out for me.
I mean, it's not just one. I think
it's hard to put one. Cause I mean, there's very few guests that we've had on that were boring.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't think anybody's been like
particularly
boring.
Connor, low T.
Connor.
Just kidding. Connor, you're great. We loved having you on and thank you for being our very first guest.
Yes.
Very much so. We'll have to get you back on.
One of the only repeat guests.
Yeah. He's been on twice now.
Yeah. And so, but no, I think for me, just not just one in particular, but just the people we've had on as a whole and the conversations that we've been able to have with those people and being able to spotlight them for St. Louis and people here local that they can see and that they have a place that they can come back and be like, yeah, this is where I was at, like you said, this point in time in my life, in my career. And it's exciting because now we can bring them back in the future and kind of compare from where they were before to where they are now and seeing how they've grown. And, you know, it's just been a fun ride. And I look forward to this every week.
Like, I do too.
This is one of my favorite day of the week to sit down for what are we, you know, we're here for what, 3 hours, three and a half hours, just hanging out, talking, having great conversations and, you know, being around people that are like-minded and just being able to have really good conversations uninterrupted. That's the biggest thing is uninterrupted. So, you know, it's hard to point out one specific one, but yeah, it's been as a whole, it's been just a great experience.
I think if I have a favorite moment, it might be a moment that like actually surprises everyone here. Cause it's just one of these things that keeps coming to mind since he said it. But I think someone who like made a statement when he came on the show is Adam Marburger. Like, mm-hmm. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, dude, that one was so good.
As far as, like, a guy who's got his shit together, poster image of guy who has his shit together.
For mm-hmm. sure.
And is still human.
Right.
It's very real.
Right.
It's very Midwestern.
Oh, yeah.
I love. But it was when he was sitting here and we were telling all the stories, we're telling all the jokes, we're talking about, you know, how he got to be a black belt and MMA for a little while, he got the shit kicked out of him that one time. And when he started talking about his businesses and he talked about, like, the stress of business, and he goes, you know, you might be stressed out in your businesses, you might be thinking, like, but you don't know what stress is until, like, you're thinking about leveraging your house to make payroll.
Mm-hmm.
That moment stands out to me so much because, like, on Matt's podcast, the first episode we did, because sometimes I'm the off-screen producer, and if he doesn't have a guest, I'll chime in. I asked him, I go, you know, how much do you think we took the advice Andy Frisella gave us for granted? Because Matt and I both worked for Andy. He's the main reason why I ever came back to St. Louis is because, like, he got me the job, and I lived with him for those few months, and I'm currently living with him right now, not for long, because I did rent out my house. And, you know, Andy talked for all these years about sleeping on the piss-stained mattress, back of the store, working jobs to make ends meet, literally blowing that 12 grand just to, like, pay the rent on their spot for a year, having to fund it with credit cards, having people break in and destroy shit, and having people ask if they were closed when they had just opened. And it was like, I got so up close and personal to him as my mentor for a very long time. And it was just like, it kind of all started to, like, get taken for granted. It's just like, dude, we're in this big ass HQ. This is badass. And, like, for a short time after I started my business, I was contracting in first form. And so, like, I went from, like, a few months of just, like, struggle, but, like, oh, I have everything figured out. And, like, a few things change. You know, you stop working with those people. You stop that contract. You get fired from some jobs. You quit on some people. And it's like, holy shit, life gets hard. And having to leverage debts and having to take these bets on myself, which a move to Florida is still a big piece of leverage because I could fail. I could flounder. I could not get any clients. I could be totally destitute down there and I'd have to come home. But it's like, well, it's not the same thing as leveraging my house as a means of making payroll. It's like, I resonated with that so much because it's like, you know, when you first started selling houses, for example, you were doing it during the pandemic. It wasn't orthodox at all. You had to make calls and fucking close deals while you were serving tables. And even though those first paychecks must have been nice, and I'm sure that the beginning of your journey was tough too, you probably spent a long, long part of the beginning saying, like, what the fuck am I doing wrong?
100%.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, you're just kind of figuring it out. I mean, I mentioned it on Matt's episode last night, but, like, man, you're when you first get your license, like, they don't teach you how to do it. You know, in that class, they teach you kind of the legality of things, like the, you know, the cover your ass kind of stuff, like the, you know, a lot of the legal stuff. But, man, they didn't even show us how to write a, you know, an offer on a house. Like, that's, like, huge portion of what I do, especially if I'm working on the buyer side, like, or even be able to, even on the seller side, being able to decipher what the offer is. And, you know, they don't even teach you that. So, you know, it's a lot of it learning on the go and figuring it out along the way, but, you know, you definitely can't do it by yourself. I mean, you need to have people in your corner that know what they're doing and people that, you know, that can mentor you and show you the way. Like, you know, I wouldn't have been able to figure out without Alex, you know, that definitely, I mean, I don't know how else you would unless you took some certain class that I didn't take, you know, because you got to figure it out one way or another. It's a sink or swim kind of thing. You just got to figure it out. You got to be willing to fuck up, you know. Like, I've definitely fucked up my fair share, especially, you know, in the beginning. I still make mistakes to this day. It's, you know, we're only human. You know, there's, you know, I make a lot less of them now, but it's just part of growing and part of being a business owner, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I like you said, I was very fortunate to have two very good mentors, you know, with my business partner and then my mom on the backside of it as our team, running our team. But then as a whole, like just the office that I was in, I was surrounded by incredible loan officers that were producing at high amounts. So, like, it was it was a free education. Like, I was there constantly listening and learning. But yeah, it was tough. I mean, like the way they all do things differently. And so I had to figure out what was going to be and what was going to work for me. So it was basically failing forward, like trying new things and failing from them, but like failing in a way like, hey, All right. So I tried it, didn't work. All right. So this worked, but that didn't. So we're going to keep this. We're going to add that. And then it's just kind of been building to like where I'm at now and like the way that I'm running, the way I run my business and the way I do things is way different than others. And like I had this conversation with an agent today and, you know, I was on the phone with this guy for an hour and a half. He's a guy over in Illinois, great conversation, but he was also a loan officer. Now he's a real estate agent. And, you know, we talked a lot about the differences and all that. And, you know, he's like, dude, you should switch. You need to come over to the real estate side. It's way better. I'm like, I like where I'm at, but like we were talking about processes and all that. And he was just like, yeah, man. He's like, I've learned so much from this conversation. I'm like, yeah, I've learned a lot from you, but it's like things like that, like conversations and talking to different people that have done it different ways and continuing to learn. I think that's the biggest thing for me. And at first, like you're like becoming a licensed loan officer, the test doesn't teach you what you need to know, like how to be a loan officer and how to be good. Like they don't teach you how to network. They don't teach you how to go and get business from agents and how to get them and how that works or how to pre-approve somebody or what questions to ask or how to do a consultation. Like that's all stuff that I had to learn on my own just from watching other people do it. And then like, again, taking classes and coaching and seminars and things like that from people that are better than me. And it's always like making sure that I'm not the smartest person in a room when I'm walking into it, because I want to learn from everybody that's better. But that's the thing is like, if there's one piece of advice that I could give to anybody starting out is learn, continue to learn, learn as much as you can and learn every day. Like it's on my thing. Like I spend an hour of learning every morning to start my day. Like whether it's learning about the market, learning different things that happen within the market that can affect interest rates, or learning about a new program, or learning about new ways to use social media or anything like that, is just constantly learning. Because as soon as you think you know it all, you're going to stop growing and stop getting better. And for me, that's something that I've always put in the forefront was, hey, learning, constantly getting better every single day, because eventually it'll pay off.
Yeah, I think there's a reoccurring thing here that, you know, both you and I both said there, and I don't think we really highlighted it. And I know we've definitely talked about it on the show before, but, you know, it just all comes down to like who you surround yourself with, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You just got to surround yourself with fucking killers.
And that's what's been cool about this podcast is we've been surrounding ourselves with fucking awesome guests, awesome people that have done amazing things. Yeah. So,
yeah. Just, you know, so if you're out there and you are not satisfied with how your life's going, or, you know, there's kind of something that you're not okay with, or you're not really happy where you're at, man, like take a look at who you spend the most of your time with, because like, you know, that right there will rub whatever. I don't care if it's someone who's always bitching about their job or their boss, or, oh, I just can't stay, you know, I can't get in shape. I'm just going to be fat forever, or this or that. It's like, man, that's like the wrong kind of person to surround yourself with. And, you know, Pat said it, you know, like you just always want to be the dumbest person in the room. Like there's something to that, man. And
well, and it's just like, if I could encourage anybody to never be content with where you're at. I mean, look, there's not anything special about me. There's really not. There's really not. I would say the one thing that I do naturally better than most people is really just speak. I'm an eloquent speaker. That's I'm good at bullshitting. But like, I mean, you guys got to remember everyone, because like when I talk about what Adam's point and the point that they just made being so important to me, it's that, you know, dude, I come from a working class family. My mom was a bartender and a waitress her whole life, did a really good job, like ran her own little business within a business is what it always felt like to me. Mm-hmm. You know, you take home your share every night. My biological dad worked a forklift, and he put himself in that position because throughout his youth, probably about until the age that all of us are now, I think he was like 35 or 36 when he had me, or when, you know, my mom, you know, he didn't do anything. He would always talk about how hard life was. And I remember during the Bush years, everything's George Bush's fault. And it's like, okay, yeah, he was a, you know, you can have your opinion of him as a president, which I was, you know, even looking back, not a big fan, but like personal responsibility, like what can you own? And throughout my whole life, I was not great at school. When I was younger, I could get like straight A's, but like it doesn't take shit to get fucking honor roll when you're in seventh grade.
Right.
You show up and you have a fucking heat signature somewhere in the 98 degree mark. You'll be on the honor roll. You'll be fine. As I got older, I had no idea what the fuck I wanted to do. And so since I had no purpose, again, I was good at reading and writing, and I was actually good at acting. Yeah. Weird. I was most improved in drama my freshman year of high school. I did journalism and creative writing my last 2 years of high school. And then I went out into the world and I was just like, I don't like who I am. You know, I got really deep into drugs and alcohol, and I still like to have fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like my lifestyle. It's not my identity anymore. And I used all those things to cover up a lot of the things I didn't like about myself. I don't have any skills or talents. Okay, well, learning how to sell drugs is not a worthwhile skill or talent. You know, railing fucking blow and eating pizza and drinking Hen on a Wednesday afternoon when you should be in class is not a way you want to be. Getting stupid overweight and, you know, moving drugs your whole life, it's what your dad did. So I turned that around in a few short years after I hit like a rock bottom portion. And, you know, when I went to go leave first form, I was like, what fucking right do I have to do this? And I think I said this on this last episode that I sat here. It was like, I have the audacity to bet on myself. I have nothing special about me except that I'm too stupid to fucking quit. And I know what my strengths are. I can talk to people and now I can produce content. Like, if anyone's out there feeling down on themselves, or they're going through the pity party, or they're like, oh, well, you know, it's just, it's different for you. No, the fuck it's not. No. Not special. You both have been close up and personal to know that too. You know, I would ask, like, you know, from just working together, what do you think the most important things you guys have learned from me?
Oh man, lots of things.
Probably not all of them can be said on camera.
One thing, I mean, obviously you've been creating my content now for, you know, what are we, year and a half now?
In February it'll be 2 years.
Educate, entertain, and motivate. So yeah. those are three things that, you know, that you've taught me that have always stuck.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah. Did I steal it?
How fucking time you were able to save without messing up.
Yeah. So you know, those are the three things that Murph always taught me. You know, like when we were just making talking head reels at the, you know, at the upstairs at Omen, you know,
or upstairs,
like,
here.
Or upstairs here. Yeah. We were it was, you know, entertain, educate, motivate. So it's like, all right, what is this, you know, this piece of content that we're creating? What's the goal here? You know, you know, and now I look at it with this podcast. So it's like, all right, well, I really think that we do all three of those things. You know, I mean, obviously I think this episode has probably been a lot more motivate and entertain, or maybe motivate and educate, I would say. Maybe entertain too. You know, so it's all the above. And you know, so I would say that's something that you've taught me that really sticks with me. Just having you around and hearing the way you speak and the way you think about certain things. Has definitely rubbed off me in definitely a positive way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely the way you think, the way you go about, the way you do things, and the way, like, for example, like, your work ethic is pretty crazy. I mean, the fact that we get texts at 1, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, and you're here recording with us and then bouncing around, and then just watching you, how just the way you've grown your business and what you've picked up and what you've gained through all of this and the connections that you've made. I mean, it's motivating. It's huge. Like, you, like I feel like your business has grown leaps and bounds since we started doing this. And it's been cool to kind of watch and see how all that's been going on. And, you know, what Zach said, the educate, entertain, and motivate, like, yeah, obviously, like, hype that and push that on us. You know, that's what ultimately this is all about. But, like, aside from that, yeah, this is definitely your work ethic and the way, like, the way you think and approach things is, you know, different than the way we do, but it's great to get that perspective and learn from that perspective. And yeah, I mean, I love you, buddy, man. I'm sad to see you go, but I am fucking happy for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I will say this as a testament to my work ethic. When I was working in restaurants, they let me know, they're like, Murph, you are really good at looking like you're doing something. And it was like, well, this is a black sheep, and like management would come in all the time and be like, if it's time to clean. I would be moving and I just wouldn't stop moving. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, I'll go out back and I'll smoke real quick, or, you know, I'll go upstairs and like, I'll go to use the bathroom up there. Like, are your table sink gift? Yeah. Side work done? Yeah. why don't you just sit, like, why don't you, because I'm like, and you're not going to sit there and tell me it's time to lean, it's time to clean, motherfucker. You're not going to get to
change. I don't want to wipe those ceiling tiles. Like, yeah, that was always, like, the go-to, like, at least restaurants I worked at. It's like, those ceiling tiles over there look pretty dirty.
Yeah, there's that
go get up on the ladder.
Above table nine, hey, upstairs, where there's, like, you know, shit that's all too tall for you. Do you want to, like, do this, like, really inopportune thing right now?
Yeah, do you want to go have your hands above your head for an hour? Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want to go fucking clean above the grease traps? No. You want to fall in and, like, turn yourself into a fish stick? No.
Yeah.
And I will also say this, too. Like, please don't commend me for staying up as late as I do. Like, I work on a basis of, like, I don't have a fucking choice.
Yeah.
Those and a lot of those times where I've had to send you those messages at 3 or 4 in the morning, I'm not excited to send them to you because I'm like, fuck, something's corrupted. Yeah, can I save it? I can't save it. I fuck something up.
But here's the thing, though. You could have just said fuck it and went to bed and not gotten it done. But it's motivating. Like, that's the thing. It's like, hey, you know what? Fuck. If Murph is going to be up and doing this shit, and I know that I'm going to give it my all when I'm here, but it also makes me want to do better in my job and do more at my job. So
yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. And it's watching you two do your stuff professionally. It's watching you be parents, because that's the hardest job in the world. It's watching Matt Joe, because Matt was the guy who was my mentor in all this, watching him build his business the way that he has, watching Mark build the coffee shop. I mean, because, like, dude, I'm in my Rolodex. I have best content creator in St. Louis who mentored me, best coffee shop who I was one of my first clients and one of my best friends, the best real estate agent, top 1% in mortgage loan officers, like, great dads, great families, great kids. You know, as much as I whine and bitch about St. Louis, I've got really, really great people here, and I don't think there's a city in the United States that's more real than what we've got here. And as excited as I am to leave, I am sad not to be here Wednesday.
Yeah, like I said, we're gonna miss you, but we're happy to see you take this leap and do it. What's one of the things that you're most excited about? What are some of the goals that you have with moving down there?
I mean, I definitely want to own property. Okay. That's a big. I mean, property is probably gonna be my main vehicle for retirement. It's just the future, because now that I have someone renting my house. I'm just thinking about, like, how do I rack up as
more
many properties as possible in as many different states as possible? Like, the housing market in Missouri is great. So cheap compared to everywhere else. But in places like Port St. Lucie, you can get a house that's more square footage than mine for about the same price.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, not everything is unobtainable. So definitely getting into more live events. I want to be filming festivals. I want to be filming parties. My friends, Ian and Ashley, the rave couple, they're always at, like, all the day clubs and the nightclubs, and they always look great. And I'm like, you guys not go broke? All this shit, they're like fucking influence down here. Like, oh, that's true. I have a bigger brand than, you know, they do at the moment. So, like, getting to help them with their content's actually very important to me, because much like here, how most of my friends who I spend adamant time with are business owners, most of my friends down there have, like, really decent sized profiles, and they've created brands. Like, my buddy Frankie, who's in sales, he has, like, 120,000 followers, and he was in a relationship with a girl who had 260,000 followers. They're just great looking young professionals who build their brands and sell shit, and they're affiliates for a bunch of different stuff. And, like, it's really cool, because being able to help them and film that kind of stuff and doing more traveling content, and really just being able to sow my seeds throughout the Southeast, like, that's a big thing, man. Little projects that I do want to start. Also, I want to start a trucking company at some point. I would love to invest dollars into that. Like, I don't know much about it, but it's just like, I'd love to put people on, and trucking's an industry that's not going away anytime soon.
No. Well, St. Louis is a big mecca for that stuff.
Well, maybe I start it here and, you know, have the right people running it for me.
Yeah.
So definitely travel content, definitely more stuff that's local to the South and the Southeast. I'm really looking forward to being on the beach every day. That's going to be I'm so excited, dude. I'm going to be at the beach literally every day. And especially when it's cold out, you guys are like, oh my God, I got to go outside. I got to warm up the car so, like, the frost doesn't start on the windows. And I'm going to be like, beach.
Basically. I have to do a Zach and Pack take the road.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Murph buys his first piece of property down there. We definitely got to, you know, even before that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We definitely got to make a trip down there, and we're definitely going to come see you, and, you know, we're obviously going to be still probably talking every day.
Yeah. I don't imagine I'll stop getting the notifications for the show. I'm still going to be, again, producing everything. So you will still have my touch. And hopefully, you know, I've passed on a modicum of information to these two to where, like, they can do it better than I did.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, Murph, is there anything else you want to say before we get you out of here?
I mean, Might as well ask me the question. I've never answered the question.
All right. Tombstone game.
I'm not exempt from the rules.
Here we go. Yep. Here lies Murph. What's it say on your tombstone?
Lifelong enemy of communism. He was him in death and in life.
There we go.
Yeah, that prepared.
Yeah,
I said it. Yeah, I said it on his fucking story the other day.
He said it multiple times, yeah.
Was it any different than the words I just spoke?
Nope.
Love it.
Verbatim, nope. Bitches. I'll miss all of you.
All right, guys. Well, that's our episode for today. Murph, thank you so much for coming on. And, if you could, just hit that like and subscribe button for us. Comment what you guys thought below. And we will see you next time.